Welcome to the Volatile Vet Radio Show, where finance meets fortitude, and the stock market isn't the only thing with battle scars. At Abshire Family Financial, we are vets in more ways than one, here to help you navigate the world of wealth, investments, and financial independence with the precision of a sniper and the patience of a drill sergeant on his first cup of coffee. We don't just talk strategy, we equip you with real knowledge designed to bring about success, which is why we give you real-world rubber-meets-the-road examples every week as part of our retirement mission. We want you to happily retire, and RETIRE is an acronym that stands for retirement, estate, taxes, income, risk, and enjoyment. To accomplish all those areas, you need a plan that's not just about surviving, but built to last. So whether you're dodging market downturns, wrestling with retirement plans, or just trying to make sense of why your money disappears faster than your willpower in a donut shop, stick around. We're going to cut through the noise, drop some knowledge, and maybe have a little fun along the way. So ladies and gentlemen, lock and load, because financial freedom is the mission. And here on The Volatile Vet, we always adapt and overcome. Hey everybody, welcome to the show this week. I kind of a little bit of shifting gears here. I love this show we're going to be talking about today, estate and legacy planning and the seven essential things to make sure that every estate plan has. And as we dive into this, I think you'll really enjoy some of the things that we go through. We're going to give you examples of the top estate planning mistakes that we see people make on a regular basis and those pitfalls to avoid and all of those things. And you recall that most of our shows are about retirement planning, income planning, tax mitigation, tax-free streams of retirement income, all that kind of thing. But the acronym that we often talk about, the word RETIRE, right, where R is retirement, E is estate planning. T is taxes, I is income planning, R is risk management, and the last E is enjoyment. That is how we define at the firm holistic retirement planning. If you have a complete structure, a written plan, that addresses all of those things, then you find the enjoyment in life really takes over. But you've got to hit the right retirement, the right estate planning, the right tax planning, income planning, and risk management. All of those things have to be successfully addressed, and that's done in something that we often refer to as a compass report. This week, we're going to do something a little bit different, and we want you to get your compass report done to see the before and after. My goodness, for the many of you out there who have called into the office, set an appointment with us to get a free compass report done, you know how tailored and customized it is. No two are exactly the same. I mean, by design, because none of you out there listening are exactly the same either. But today what we're going to do instead, as we talk about estate planning and the common myths, mistakes, and the seven key essential things you must have, what we'd like to do is if you call in to set up a free visit, right, a no-obligation visit with us at the firm to go through your estate plan, we have a network of nationwide attorneys at steeply discounted prices that you simply can't get when doing your trust and your estate plan because of the negotiation power that we have and the volume that we help people with. But what we're going to do, if you call in and set up a free visit with us today, we're going to reserve this for the first 10 because this always goes decently quick. We will do for you for free as part of your estate plan, your healthcare powers of attorney, your financial powers of attorney, and your advanced healthcare directives, all for free, complimentary, without obligation when you call and set up a visit with us. Now, whether or not you do anything further with us at the firm as we do your estate planning, retirement planning, income planning, tax planning, all those things is totally irrelevant. You get those things for free. So here's the phone number, 775-899-2243, 775-899-2243, or you can set up a visit with us at volatilevet.com, just like it sounds, volatilevet.com. As we dig into the estate and legacy planning here, I want you to keep a few things in mind that estate planning is more than simply who gets what of how much and Johnny gets this and Susie gets that. I mean, yes, the distribution is certainly part of an estate plan, but a real estate and legacy plan is more about preserving family harmony, leaving a legacy. Now, what's the difference between an estate and a legacy? An estate is all your stuff, okay? It's your stuff. It's your worldly possessions, essentially. It's money, it's assets, it's tangibles and that kind of thing. Your legacy, though, is how you are remembered. It's the impact you made and the mark you left for good in the world. A fully fledged estate plan also takes into account your legacy, and you're going to see that as part of our 7 essential things today. So again, thank you for joining us here on The Volatile Vet. The company is Abshire Family Financial. This is one of our core competencies, estate and legacy planning. And the phone number as we get going here is 775-899-2243. And isn't that nice for the first 10 today? We want to give you true value. We will do your advanced estate, your advanced healthcare directives, your financial powers of attorney, and your healthcare powers of attorney for free. Those are critical documents in your estate plan when you're one of the first 10 to set up a visit with us. Okay, here we go. Let's dive in a little bit here. 7 essential things you must have in your estate plan. Number 1 is a last will and testament. Now, we're going to break each one of these down, the pros and cons of a will, the pros and cons of a trust, which is going to be number 2. But let me give you just a little bit of a blurb about each one of these 7, and then we're going to dive in. How's that? First one, last will and testament. Your will, if you don't know, is the cornerstone of an estate plan. I think it's more the first step of an estate plan. You must have a will. This outlines how you want your assets distributed after your death, names an executor to carry out your wishes. So let's get some terminology straight. An executor is attached to a will. A trustee is attached to a trust. Many times we hear people say, I'm the executor of the trust. That's not a thing. You're an executor of a will or of an estate. All right, so an executor is to carry out your wishes. If you've got minor children, guardianship issues are handled in a will. And if you don't have a will, then it defaults to, if you don't have a will, your state has one for you. You go through a longer probate process and your state laws will decide, not you, who gets what. And that may or may not be according to your true intention. So we're going to come back to a will and testament, last will and testament. That's number 1. We're also going to come back to the effects of probate when you only have a last will and testament, which leads us to number 2, a revocable living trust. This is the second essential thing in an estate plan. So a living trust, this is a contract. A living trust allows you to transfer ownership of assets while you're alive, but stay in control. You maintain control. At your death, those assets are then passed finally and officially to your beneficiaries without going through probate, which, my goodness, you're going to see saves so much time, so much heartache and soul-crushing experience, so much legal fees. It's private, not public like probate. A trust is especially helpful if you own property in multiple states, real property, paper assets, and you also want to manage how and when those assets are distributed. So a living trust for most people is absolutely essential. There are some absolute gotchas here with a living trust that you need to be aware of. We'll dig into that. Number 3 is a financial power of attorney. This is number 3 of the 7 essential components that your estate plan must have. A financial power of attorney. This is a document that allows someone you trust that you appoint to manage your financial affairs if you become incapacitated, paying your bills, managing your investments, your retirement accounts, filing taxes on your behalf. And without this, if you did become incapacitated, then what? Well, then your loved ones have to go through a costly and time-consuming court process where someone is appointed, maybe not who you want, maybe not who others want either, who your other heirs want, but someone gets appointed to have legal authority over your finances to make decisions for you. Number three, that is the financial power of attorney. That is one of the things we're doing for free today when you're one of the first seven to call and set up a visit with us at the firm. That phone number, one more time, is 775-899-2243. Number four, a healthcare power of attorney. This is kind of also known as a healthcare proxy. Maybe you've heard that terminology before. This, like the financial power of attorney, the healthcare power of attorney gives someone that you trust and you appoint legal authority to make medical decisions for you if you're not able to speak for yourself, if you're incapacitated. And their decisions are binding. It doesn't matter if... So you want to be really careful about this. Same with the financial power of attorney. Whoever is appointed, their decisions are final and upheld. It doesn't matter if, 10 other heirs say, no, it should be this way, but your healthcare power of attorney says, no, it's going to be this way. That is what is followed. So be really sure and certain and review this often. Many times people come in and they haven't made updates to their trust in 10 years or longer. And we look at some of these things. And is this still true? Is this beneficiary still who you want? Is this healthcare power of attorney still who you want? And a lot of times it's fine, but you know what, guys? Many times it's not. I said, oh, shoot, no, that's something I meant to update. So, but having this healthcare power of attorney, hear me on this, it is critical in situations where you might be unconscious or mentally incapacitated and decisions need to be made quickly and in your best interest. All right, so that's number four, a healthcare power of attorney. Number five, a living will or advanced healthcare directive. This document outlines, for example, your preferences for end-of-life care. Things like whether you want to be kept on life support, feeding tubes, resuscitation efforts, right? You've heard of a DNR, do not resuscitate. This document takes the burden off your loved ones because this is a tough time. If we're at this point in your life, this is a tough decision to have to make. But if you've dictated this ahead of time, your living will, as it's called, different from last will and testament, okay? Your living will is a healthcare directive. And the burden can really be taken off your loved ones by making your wishes known ahead of time, which can prevent a lot of family disagreement and heartache during those difficult times. And I will say, let's go back to the healthcare power of attorney. Let's remember that that is someone who is appointed to make healthcare decisions for you. But the living will or advanced healthcare directive already lines out your wishes in the case of end-of-life care. So a healthcare proxy can make decisions for you, but they cannot override your advanced healthcare directive when it comes to end-of-life care. And this does assume that your advanced healthcare directive is clear and not vague, not open to interpretation. But otherwise, in almost every state, it is binding and cannot be overridden. All right. Cool. So that's number five, living will or advanced healthcare directives. Beneficiary designation. Certain assets. Everyone needs to pay attention to this here. Your beneficiaries are highly important to be updated. There are certain assets like life insurance, retirement accounts, and annuities that pass outside of probate because they have a named beneficiary. This is called by operation of law. Those are some technical jargon for you. These types of accounts where you have a named beneficiary pass by operation of law to your heirs. They pass outside of probate. They don't care what your will says. It doesn't matter. It supersedes that. So, this means that whoever is listed as beneficiaries on those type of accounts will receive that asset directly, again, regardless of what your will says or regardless of what the living trust says. And keeping those, those beneficiary designations updated is vital, especially after major life events like marriage, divorce, maybe you have a child pass away before you. Or a spouse pass away before you, and the birth of a new child, right? It is important to review your beneficiary designations often. Okay, so that's number six, and we are going to get into some, like I said before, with a living trust, there are some gotchas. assigning your living trust to be a beneficiary of certain accounts, of certain types of accounts, is a huge no-no. We'll dig into that. Number seven, this one is interesting, and not a lot of people do this, but we highly recommend you have this as part of your estate plan. It's called a legacy letter, or sometimes called an ethical will. I want to stress, this is not a legal document, but it can be one of the most meaningful parts of your estate plan. It's a written letter to your loved ones that shares your values, life lessons, and hopes for the future. See, now we're starting to get into what we define as legacy, not just estate planning, but legacy planning. And a lot of times it can explain, if you care to explain, a lot of the reasoning behind certain decisions in your plan. So again, this doesn't have any legal weight, but not everything in estate planning is about finance and legality. This ethical will or legacy letter, you can just imagine, it carries a lot of emotional weight, and in a lot of situations, that can mean just as much. Okay, so those are the seven key essential things that as a minimum, every estate plan must have. Last will and testament, revocable living trust, financial power of attorney, healthcare power of attorney or healthcare proxy, living will, or sometimes called advanced healthcare directives or advanced healthcare directives. Beneficiary designations have to be correct and up to date. And seventh, that legacy letter or ethical will. So let's do this today to help you on that path. We will do completely complimentary when you're one of the first 10 to call and set up a visit with us at the firm, your financial power of attorney, healthcare power of attorney, and advanced healthcare directives all free. 775-899-2243. 775-899-2243. That is part of an estate plan. It's not a complete estate plan. You still need your will. You still need your living trust, all of those things, your beneficiary designations. There's a lot more that goes into an estate plan, retitling deeds, making sure that certain assets are in the trust, all of those things. So, but we will do those three for you. That's three of the seven for free. The phone number is 775-899-2243, 775-899-2243, and you, of course, can also go to volatilevet.com and set up your own appointment right from the website. Read a little bit more about what we do, volatilevet.com. As is common with everybody that sets a visit, we also do your full compass report. Now, the compass report is estate planning, but it is also retirement, taxes, income, risk management, all of those things. So that's part of the offer here today as well. We'll do that before and after picture, show you the path you're likely on right now, if nothing changed, with reasonable assumptions. And in the compass report, we also show you a revised or more holistic path and compare the two. And that this is a very quantifiable kind of analysis where we often see results in the neighborhood of 30% more net spendable income on a regular basis. It can be higher or more or less or more than that, but that's very common. We see the retirement assets because of wise management, risk mitigation, wise tax efficiencies, often lasting 7 to 10 years or longer compared to the current path. Getting your Social Security to become tax-free or much, much less taxable is also a huge win that most people just haven't planned for. And we talk a lot about that every show, so I'm not going to go into it today as we're focusing on the estate and legacy planning. But just know that that is part of what we'll do. I mean, we'll look at your estate plan, make sure it's up to date. Maybe you haven't reviewed your estate plan, your trust and your will in a long time. And you'd like to have our attorneys do that. That's fantastic. 775-899-2243. I mean, I hope, ladies and gentlemen, as you're sitting here listening to us driving down the road or tinkering around in the garage or whatever it is, that you understand that, that you know, at the firm, at Abshire Family Financial, that having a team built around you that does all of these things, that is comprehensive, makes a huge difference rather than trying to take one piece of the plan from over here, another piece of the plan from over here. I think that's why we have the reputation we have, and I think that's why our clients just we really enjoy the relationships we have with our clients. It's a deep-rooted, long-term relationship. All right, so volatilevet.com or 775-899-2243. Now, I promised that we would dig in a little bit in the first step of the seven, right? The first of the seven key essential things that you must have in an estate plan is a last will and testament. Now, a will, while it is the first step in an estate plan and it is elementary, does come with something nasty attached to it called probate. Probate is a, what I do believe, is a nasty word. And if you've ever known anyone to go through probate, unless it's a very simple estate, you know how long, annoying, expensive, public, invasive, and just how soul-crushing of an experience it is. It is the epitome. It is the poster child of bureaucracy, red tape, and the understanding behind why you may just want to trade places with your dead loved one instead of go through probate. Many people make a mistake in thinking that, well, I have a will, so I don't go through probate. Or I saw someone with a will go through probate, but it was the wrong kind of will. It was set up wrong. Poppycock, malarkey, and rubbish. Hear me loud and clear. A will ensures that you will go through probate. So let's dive into that. Probate is the process of the legal system, a judge, not related to you, distributing your estate, or what we as you know lovingly refer to as your stuff, to your next of kin. And why is this so challenging and something we want to highly avoid? Well, probate is a long process most of the time. Once you pass away, the probate process can take 1 to 3 years. Imagine having your heirs who you want to take possession of your things as you have outlined in your will, taking up to 1 to 3 years to go through the legal system before they possess those things. And your heirs could have some very pressing needs. It can be very confusing and frustrated. And again, I just want to make this point very, very clear. If you have a will, you will go through probate. It ensures you will go through probate. Probate is also very expensive. Remember how I said it takes 1 to 3 years? Well, that's the time element. But during that time, courts charge administrative fees. Attorneys, who are, of course, involved most of the time, charge their hourly fees for, quote, probating the estate. I mean, guys, look, in fact, for many years, attorneys fought against living trusts becoming very popular because living trusts avoid probate. And lawyers for a long time did not want that to happen because, well, they can charge you for creating your will, then they get to charge for probating the entire estate and, you know, have some billable hours for a year to 3 years after you pass away. It was a great retirement plan for them. But we will come back to the living trust later because it solves a lot of these problems. So probate is darn expensive. How much? The cost is usually 5 to 8% of the gross estate. So being really simple here, if you had $1 million estate, that would be $50,000 to $80,000. If you had a $2 million estate, you're looking at $100,000 to $160,000 just for the privilege of going through probate. Probate is also public. I think this one's really frustrating. Anyone can go down to the courthouse and look up your probate estate and see everything you have in that probate estate, all your assets. They can read your will, who you left what to. It is all public record. I mean, in fact, most of the time you don't even have to go down to the courthouse anymore. You just get online and look it up because courts have made most things very public and just online for ease of access. So guys, in essence, When you have a will and therefore go through probate, all your affairs are made public for anyone to see at any time. And aside from that being truly invasive and just feeling wrong, there's another massive problem. Wills, which ensure probate happens, are easier to contest than you might believe, even if it's executed properly. When your estate is public, anyone can go make a claim on the estate. Anyone. It doesn't matter if it's a legitimate claim or not. It has to be investigated. It has to have a hearing, and that means more fees, more lawyer hours, and more delay. All right, so for example, we know of stories where an estate is going through probate and a plumbing company, for example, or a contractor will look up the estate because they can. It's all public if you're going through probate. And they say, you know what, let's submit a claim for a, quote, unpaid bill of $400. And sometimes the executor just pays it because they don't want to deal with it. Sometimes it's investigated, causing more hours, fees, and delays. Either way, my point is anyone can make a claim. It takes time and money to investigate that claim. And there are a plethora of other examples of why a public estate proceeding, which is probate, is an inferior and poor estate plan. So that's probate in a nutshell. Confusing, time-consuming, costly, soul-crushing, and very public. No privacy, easy to contest. There are certain times that you may want to use the probate system, such as assigning guardians for minors, special needs situations, but you're going to see that those things are much better handled, usually through a living trust as well. And so unless you have a very small estate, and I mean a small, small estate, or you just love fees being paid to lawyers and court systems and hate your heirs, other than those things, probate is an inferior choice for most estate plans. What you should take away from that is having just a will is not good enough unless you really do want to go through probate for some very strange reason. So to that end, if you're one of the first 10 today to call and set up a visit with us at the firm, some of the resources we're giving to you are pretty awesome. We're giving you for free, doing your advanced healthcare directives, your financial power of attorney, and your healthcare power of attorney, all complimentary when you're one of the first 10 today to set up a visit with us at the firm. 775-899-2243. Those things get you down the road for an estate plan. They're not a complete one, but they get you down the road. VolatileVet.com or 775-899-2243. Let's get your estate planning done and checked off. I got to take a break. We will be right back. So as we continue on with the estate and legacy planning kind of topic today, I want to welcome you back to Act 2 here on the Volatile Vet radio show. This is one of my more favorite shows to kind of discuss and talk about. As you know, we normally talk a whole lot about retirement income planning, tax-free retirement, mitigating risk in your retirement portfolios, and all of those things. Making the money last longer and increasing your net rate of return. But today we're talking about something that is part of that RETIRE acronym. The word RETIRE, we often say, is an acronym. R is for retirement. E is for estate planning. T is tax planning. I is income planning. R is risk mitigation or risk management. And the final E is enjoyment. And when you have a plan that encompasses all of those things, you have a very holistic approach, one that shields you very well from a lot of aspects of retirement that could be pitfalls, but it is also designed to take advantage of strengths that are in your plan and to uncover opportunities in your situation that you may not have been previously aware of. So that holistic plan is something we call a compass report. We always do that for our clients. It's a very streamlined, brass tacks, no fluff, right? Bottom line kind of analysis where you do get to see the before and after, as in, here's your current path trajectory if nothing changed. And part two is a revised, much more holistic path where we go to work behind the scenes at the firm with our team of more than 20 CFPs, tax advisors, tax attorneys if needed, estate planning attorneys, CFAs, right? Chartered financial analysts. We have all of those people at the firm and as part of our expanded network. And so when we present to you your individual Compass report, it is something that has been vetted and has a team approach with so many different professionals looking at it and making sure this is the best optimal design and approach and outcome that is possible with all factors known. So what we'd like to do for you, if you're one of the first 10 today to call and set up a visit with us at the firm at Abshire Family Financial, we will do that full tailored Compass report for you with our team for free without obligation. 775-899-2243, 775-899-2243. But beyond that, today what we're also doing is helping you get down the road on your estate plan, your estate and legacy planning. Some of the foundational documents in your estate plan are an advance healthcare directive, healthcare power of attorney, or healthcare proxy, sometimes it's called, and a financial power of attorney. When you're one of the first 10 today, we will do those for you for free. The binding legal documents with our legal team, we'll get them done for you for free. If you have other needs outside of that, will and trust, we have deeply discounted opportunities to get that done with our nationwide network of attorneys. Because of the volume that we do and the relationships we have the ability to help you do that at a cost that is not attainable on your own. 775-899-2243 or volatilevet.com. So for those first 10 who call in to set up the visit with us, we do your full Compass report, complimentary, and we also do your advanced healthcare directives, power of attorney for healthcare, and power of attorney for financial, all complimentary. Volatilevet.com or 775-899-2243. There are many ways that you can transfer assets, and the will, meaning a probate process, is one that we talked about in the first half, and that is a soul-crushing experience and decision to go through. Another way is by operation of law, and you have things like joint tenancy, joint tenants with right of survivorship, joint tenants by the entirety, joint tenants in common. Some of those avoid probate, some of them do not, and some of them, while simple, often come with some pitfalls that can really get you. We can share some examples on that. Another way to transfer by contract is through a living trust. So let me give you some advantages, and we'll go through the seven essential documents and elements of an estate and legacy plan. I'm going to rip through those real quick, and then stay tuned. I want to dive into the living trust because there are often many, many questions surrounding what a living trust is, what it does, why it's important, and those kind of things. So just to start here, there are seven components that we believe every estate plan needs to have. And the first one is, which is the first step of a estate plan often, is what's called a last will and testament. So this is a elementary step. It outlines how you want your assets distributed. After you do pass away, it names an executor who is to carry out your wishes. If you've got minor children, this is where a will is very powerful and important. You name guardianship for them, special needs, things like that. Without a will, your state's laws decide who gets what. And that can be a very long, expensive, public, and invasive process that may or may not be what you truly want. Despite that, a will is still the first step in any estate plan. The most basic thing, you need to have this. But one thing I didn't mention when we were talking about probate in the last section is that a judge is actually not required to follow your wishes in a will. It is easily contested, more easily so than you might think. Now, while that is true, do most probate judges follow your wishes in the will so long as it's executed properly and there's no major contest regarding it? Yes, they do. But It is often thought that a will is absolutely binding. In reality, a judge can set it aside and make up their own distribution plan for your assets if they feel, for whatever reason, that that is justified. I do not like that at all. I'm sure you don't either. A will ensures probate. Do not make the mistake of, oh yeah, well, I'll avoid probate because I have a will. That's not true. A will ensures and forces probate to happen. That said, it is still number one on the list of the seven essential documents and elements that you must have in your estate plan. And that's where we come to number two, which is a revocable or revocable, if you prefer, living trust. We're going to dive into this more, but in brevity, a living trust allows you to transfer ownership of assets while you're alive, but still maintain control of those assets. And therefore, you avoid probate with a living trust. And at your death, final control, possession, and everything is passed to your heirs, who you want them to be, as outlined in the trust. Because the trust avoids probate, it saves so much time, so much legal fees. Things are private, unlike a will and probate, which is public. It's also very hard to contest a living trust. It's not impossible, but it is very difficult to bring a challenge against a living trust. If you've got property in multiple states or multiple properties, life insurance, all these things are helpful, or a living trust is helpful with. So for most people, a living trust is also very needed. That's number two. Number three, financial power of attorney. Number four, healthcare power of attorney. We went through the ins and outs of those in the first half. Number five, a living will, or sometimes called your advance healthcare directive. Very, very important. So you want to make your end-of-life care wishes known ahead of time. And six is beneficiary designations. Where we dive into this is certain assets like life insurance, retirement accounts, annuities, any type of account where you name a beneficiary, they pass to those beneficiaries outside of a will, outside of probate, outside of a trust. It's called by operation of law, and it's very simple, it's very fast, it's very efficient. However, do you think it's important to keep those beneficiary designations up to date? Do you think we know of and have seen cases where there's a life insurance policy, spouses get divorced, 20 years later, a spouse forgot to change the beneficiary of their divorced spouse off of their life insurance? Ooh, imagine the battle that that begets. Very important to keep those things up to date. And seventh is a legacy letter or ethical will. I really like this as a capstone. While a legacy letter or ethical will is not a legal document, it is perhaps the most meaningful part of your estate plan to your heirs. This is where it's a written letter to your loved ones that shares your values, your insights, the things you treasure, your life lessons, and your hopes for the future. And it can also explain, if you care to, the reasoning behind certain decisions in your plan. And so while it does not have any legal weight, it certainly carries emotional weight. And in many, many times, that can mean just as much or more. All right, so those are the seven things that are essential in an estate plan, estate and legacy plan. And if you would like, we will help you without any obligation. We'll do it complimentary with your healthcare power of attorney, your financial power of attorney, and your advanced healthcare directives. We will do those things for you for free if you're one of the first 10 to set up a visit with us today at the firm. The phone number is 775-899-2243 or volatilevet.com, 775-899-2243. All right, let's turn our focus, as I promised, to a little bit of a deeper dive into a revocable or revocable living trust. This avoids full probate. I'm going to clarify that in a moment, but there is really no judge involved. No court fees are very, very, very minimal. There's no lawyers probating the estate. It's not public. It doesn't take 1 to 3 years like probate can. It doesn't, you know, cost 5 to 8% of your gross estate like probate typically does. It is very simplified. It's private. It's not public. It's hard to contest, right? So you have all those advantages of a living trust. There is simply, for those it's appropriate for, no excuse not to have a living trust. None. And what I'll clarify on the full probate, because part of a living trust is called a pour-over will, this pours any last fledgling assets into the trust upon your death. So you do want to make sure prior to death that you funded your trust. This means you have transferred title of the deeds into the trust. You have the bank accounts in the name of the trust, things like that. We're also going to talk about things you do not put in a trust. All right, so stay tuned. But it's simplified fast. The probate is a very simplified probate because of that pour over will, and then it's over. Second, a living trust is private. Your estate and affairs are not made public for the world to see. Third, a living trust passes wealth and assets very efficiently. There's no major delays, assuming it's been properly drafted, executed, and funded. And fourth, the living trust is what we say or call incontestable. Now, no one can tell you there's nothing that could not challenge your wishes that are put in a living trust. But, ladies and gentlemen, it is darn hard to challenge. Unlike a will, which is easier, much easier to challenge. So for all intents and purposes, a living trust is bulletproof. Fifth, we haven't spent much time on this, and we're not going to, but a living trust also does provide, in some instances, certain levels of asset protection, and that can be very important. Six, living trusts are revocable while you are alive. You are in control. You can always update, change provisions, amend it as you see fit. You can even kill it if you wanted to. There are many, many advantages a living trust can offer. Most situations that you're thinking about can likely be carried out by a living trust, whether it's special needs, life estates, things like that. They are efficient. They're cost efficient, especially compared to a will and probate combination. They ensure your wishes are carried out and they are incontestable. So, when we're doing a full estate and legacy planning package or plan, it includes a plethora of documents. It does include a will, pour over will, the living trust itself, the advanced healthcare directives, durable powers of attorney for healthcare and financial, debt considerations, disinherits, behavioral conditions, subtrusts, special needs children or circumstances, and even, you know, some advanced situations like age-based distributions, life estates. It includes help with funding your trust, moving certain assets into the name of the trust, and all of those things. And so our team of attorneys that we have back behind us helps do all of those things for you. If you'd like to reach out and have an estate planning discussion, which is part of retirement planning, retirement planning is not just your allocation model, your IRA, your income plan. All of that is important and part of it, but the estate is often overlooked as part of the retirement planning experience. It must be included. And having a firm that has all these expertise either under one roof or part of the expanded network to bring it all together has significant positive ramifications for you. 775-899-2243 or volatilevet.com, just like it sounds, volatilevet.com, 775-899-2243. Now today, when you're one of the first 10 to call in and set up a visit with us, we do your advanced healthcare directives, your durable power of attorney for financial matters, and your durable power of attorney for healthcare, all complimentary. We have our team, our legal team, do those binding legal documents for you for free. We also do your Compass report for you, so you can see the before and after of the other parts of your retirement plan outside of the estate consideration. So there's a lot here. It is a very robust offering, and it's our opportunity to impress you, to put our best foot forward, and at least give you, if you don't technically become a client of the firm, to at least give you value that you can use that makes a big impact in your life with that Advanced Healthcare Directive in the Durable Powers of Attorney for Health and Financial. 775-899-2243 is 775-899-2243. Right. Let's now dig into what should go into a living trust and what probably shouldn't. And I'm going to make a big disclaimer here. We're not attorneys. We have attorneys that we work with. So I'm not giving you legal advice at all. Typically, what goes into a trust is based on everyone's individual situation, and the need, even the need for a trust, is determined with an attorney or your decision to do that. So essentially, what goes into a living trust commonly is real estate and taxable accounts like bank accounts, CDs, money market accounts, brokerage accounts. These kinds of things typically go into a trust. They may also be made, the trust may also be made the beneficiary of these types of assets to good effect, which allows you to control, if you want to, not just who gets what, but how much they get of what and under what circumstances, like ages, staying clean in life. You can put all kinds of conditions around control and special circumstances of when people get distributions from the trust, okay? So that's part of it. Now, secondly, let's discuss what doesn't go into a living trust. IRAs, qualified retirement accounts, do not go into a living trust. Life insurance policies, the ownership of them, can go into a living trust, especially if you're doing advanced estate planning. You could do like a spousal lifetime access trust. You can do an irrevocable life insurance trust. Things like this where there might be an estate tax problem. All right, and those are some advanced planning situations that we can absolutely do. Now, what do estate taxes look like? A lot of people have been worried about the estate tax exemption dropping dramatically if the Trump cuts did expire, and they didn't. They've been extended, quote, permanently. For years, we've been talking about the possibility that it could go all the way back down to 6 or 7 million like it has been previously. But for the foreseeable future, they've been extended. Right now, the federal estate tax exemption is right around $15 million per person, $30 million per married couple. So the fact is, as far as estate taxes go, very few families will experience an estate tax problem. So unless you have a net estate above those numbers currently and died with this current taxation or current tax laws in effect, you would not have estate taxes. Now that's different from income taxes on inheritance. So let's dive into the income taxes on inheritance. Let's dive into what vehicles make sense for inheritance planning and what vehicles you absolutely do not make the living trust the beneficiary of. If you have an IRA, I'm going to start there. If you have an IRA and you're planning on passing on that IRA or 401k, simple IRA, SEP IRA, 457, 403b, a TSP if you're with the government or the military, any of these qualified accounts. I'm going to say IRA, but I mean any and all of those types of accounts. Here's what happens when you pass it on. Your heirs receive that IRA. I'm talking non-spousal heir, next generation heirs. And they have, under the Secure Act 2.0, the right to take it all at once or spread it out over 10 years, but they must fully liquidate that IRA within 10 years of receiving it. Now, it used to be you could stretch it out super, super long, but Secure Act 2.0 really hindered that. So here's what tends to happen and why we are often saying a IRA, a traditional IRA, a 401k, and all those siblings are the worst created vehicles for passing wealth. Let's say you pass away, your heirs inherit the IRA. It's $500,000. They are likely in higher income, the highest income earning parts of their life currently, perhaps. So they don't want to take that money out the IRA. We don't want to jump them into a new tax bracket, which it very well could. And even spreading it out over 5 to 10 years could still jump them into tax brackets, cause all kinds of collateral damage for them. So what are we seeing happen? We're seeing the heirs delay taking it. So now 5 years later, say $500,000 is now $750,000. And at year 9, it's $1.2 million. Great. But they haven't taken any of it. We see this all the time. It's called the 10-year tax trap. And now suddenly, they must take it over 1 or 2 years, and $500,000 is now $1.2 million or $1 million, and they get hit with an incredible tax bill, and the IRS wins. Yeah, we see that happen. And that's called kicking the can down the street, procrastinating taxes, procrastinating planning. That is not a good way to approach it. So again, if your goal is to simply pass an IRA or a qualified pre-tax account, something like that, just pass that on to the next generation, think again. Really think twice. What is a much better plan? What is designed? What was designed to pass wealth? Life insurance was designed to pass wealth. It's that simple. There are no income taxes, no Secure Act 2.0 due on life insurance. A death benefit passes income tax-free to your heirs. All of those things. It's an efficient wealth transfer tool. And there are many, many ways to convert tax-hostile accounts, inheritance tax-hostile accounts like IRAs, to life insurance so that that doesn't happen. Unless you hate your heirs, then it's fine. But let's look at it differently. Let's say, okay, I'm going to keep the IRA. I'm going to pass the IRA on, and I'm going to make the trust the beneficiary of the IRA. Oh, no. No. Think twice about this, too. If you pass on your IRA to your heirs, and say they're married, filing jointly, and all that, the top tax bracket in the land right now, 37%, they would hit that married, filing jointly. They hit that somewhere north of $600,000. I think it's $609,000. So they don't hit that tax bracket until $609,000, and every dollar above that would be federally taxed at 29%. All right, follow me? If, however, you make a trust, your living trust, the beneficiary of your IRA or any other qualified retirement account, guess what? Now the trust has its own tax brackets, and its tax brackets, do the trust tax brackets hit 37% after only $16,000. That's it. Said differently, the tax brackets of a living trust are compressed significantly for what is called retained income. We're not going to do a deep dive on that. However, I just want you to get this. While it is smart to move certain assets into the name of a trust, and while it is smart to make certain assets to make the trust the beneficiary of certain assets, this is not the case with an IRA or 401k. They do not play nicely with living trusts at all. Now, there is a workaround. You can do what's called a see-through living trust, where it sees through the trust's tax bracket to the beneficiary of the trust's tax bracket. But unless that is set up properly, you just compress the tax brackets to where you normally wouldn't have 37% in taxes until you go north of $609,000 for a married couple filing jointly, down to everything above $16,000 is suddenly taxable at 37% federally because the trust tax brackets take over and take effect when you make the trust the beneficiary of the IRA. This is a terrible mistake that we do see people make, and this is why you must have a team that knows what the heck they are doing, helping you avoid these pitfalls, helping you avoid common estate planning mistakes. There are many I could give you examples of. That's just one for today. Let's get this done for you. Let's mark this off your list. We'd like to do your estate plan for you, have our team of attorneys behind us do it. If you are one of the first 10 today, we give you your durable power of attorney for healthcare, your durable power of attorney for financial matters, and your advanced healthcare directives for free. We will get those binding legal documents by our legal team done for you for free, just for being one of the first 10 today to call in and set up a visit with us. We also do your full Compass report as always. 775-899-2243 or volatilevet.com. 775-899-2243. I want you to get down in the road on this. We want to do this for you. Let us give you some value, regardless of what this is for everyone. It doesn't matter if you're a client of our firm or not. We will do those things for you if you're one of the first 10 today. 775-899-2243. Thanks for hanging out with us today.
All matters discussed during the show are for informational purposes only. Each individual situation may vary, and the opinions expressed here may not apply to everyone. Materials presented are believed to be from reliable sources, and no representations can be made as to its accuracy. All ideas and information should be discussed in detail with one of our qualified representatives prior to implementation. We are not affiliated with or endorsed by the Social Security Administration, the Federal Medicare Program, or any other government agency. Calling this number will direct you to a licensed representative.